Nani?
How we doing? My name is Hero. This is Coding with Strangers, and I want to talk about something. Something specific. I want to talk about you specifically. You in the sense of how lonely you are right now. I want to talk about how it is more difficult for you to find the energy to go outside and do things that you used to do. I want to talk about how it's more difficult for you to do things that you always used to love doing. And whether it's a sense of dread, whether it's a financial situation that's causing you not to go out and have a good time, ultimately, you're more lonely than you think you are. And this isn't something that is new to us. As you get older, the more you separate yourself from crowds and distance, such as being in college and things like that, you lose connections with people. Now, in college, we're probably our most well-connected because we're literally living in an ecosystem designed for connectivity. All college towns are extremely walkable. Most college towns are extremely walkable because of the dorm and living settings. This is the first time you get to experience independence and a little bit of co-management of things that happen within your dormitory. So a lot of things happen there. But for the people who don't experience college or the people who are so far removed from college, hey, my name's Hero, 10 years out of college, a lot has changed. And there's this walking belief that America's in this loneliness pandemic. And whether you feel the effects of it now or later, I want to at least stress to you that if you are feeling these things, you're not alone. You should seek counsel. You should seek help, medical, friends, confidants. But more importantly, you need to be aware of the situation you're in so that you can be better suited to handle it. It sneaks up on us as quick as it sneaks up on people that you least suspect it. The famous reference is reference to Robin Williams. The happiest guy in the room was miserable deep down inside. So we want to talk about a little bit how we got here, and more importantly, how AI, for better or worse, is trying to solve this problem. Let's get a better understanding of the who, what, when, where, and how. Our first article talks about how the elderly are handling this loneliness epidemic. Chatty robot helps seniors fight loneliness through AI companionship. Oh my God. Okay. And you want to, so I'm going to start off by saying this. Look, if, you know, barring you losing your family and not having anyone be, if you have family and they put you in a nursing home, I stand to reason you're probably not a good parent. I'm going to say it like that. I'm going to say that. Probably weren't the first best parents. Because ain't no way I'm putting my mom in the home. Joyce lives alone, but when she returns to her apartment at Florida Senior Community, the retired office worker often has a chat with a friendly female voice that asks about her day. A few miles away, the same voice comforted 83-year-old Deanna Desner when her friend died. In central New York, it plays games and music for 92-year-old Maria, who is blind and in hospice. God damn. And in Washington State, it helps the 83-year-old Jan Warla make new friends. The women are some of the first in the country to receive the robot EliQ, whose creator Intuition Robotics and senior assistance officials say is the only device using artificial intelligence specifically designed to alleviate the loneliness and isolation experienced by many older Americans. I gotta say, I'm a little, okay. So one thing we know for sure is that at least between men and women, women are more likely to congregate. They're more likely to make everlasting friendships, and they're more likely to make more friendships to subsidize for their mental health. A lot of women put a lot of their mental capacity not into just one thing. Men are very much focused on one or two things that bring them happiness in their life, while women are able to spread that out. And a big part of being able to spread that out is they do that through friends and family. So what happens when one of your greatest assets to alleviating stress and feeling fulfilled in your life is gone? Is one of the dynamic things that make women happy in this country. And to hear that they have a form of replacement for that is pretty interesting. It's entertaining. You can actually talk to her. Said Lozaya 81 Eli Q is a suburban Fort Lauderdale nickname. Her Jelly Bean. She gave it a nickname, Jelly Bean. For no particular reason, she makes comments like, "I would go outside if I had hands, but I can't hold an umbrella." Oh, motherfucker got jokes, huh? He's cracking jokes. The device, which looks like a small table lamp, has an eyeless, mouthless head and lights up and swivels. It remembers each user's interest and their conversations, helping tailor future chats, which can be conversations. That's a weird way of saying it. You can have conversations as deep as what is the meaning of life, all the way down to your horoscope says you're gonna have strike some luck. So it's like a magic eight ball or some shit. I see an immediate reasoning for wanting to use this, and they have already started developing this further. I've already read this article. It's pretty boring until the end. But TLDR, basically, this could be used for Alzheimer's and dementia, early set on dementia patients who are having trouble to remember things. These AI devices would be extremely useful in reminding patients or people who live with temporary with memory loss issues where certain aspects of their lives are and where certain things are, and reminding them of keynote things. This is where it's being heavily implemented, but it's in the early on stages, being used to basically, this is it in the corner too, used to help people deal with their loneliness. And you know, I can't knock this. This is a sad way of seeing people suffer with their loneliness, but it's a good way to have technology be used to better people's life. That's what technology was designed for, to better people's life. Now, let's talk about how AI is being used to probably help people, but in the wrong way. Why more people are turning to artificial intelligence for companionship? This is a little bit more on the darker area. So from we know the game, we know it's a swiping society, but you know, every now and then you run into a good conversation, a good person, you meet up and you want things to evolve and develop. I did not know that people were using AI to help give them conversation starters, to help them respond to women's on dating sites. People are using these dating apps in conjunction with AI. And there's something mystical about knowing that if you go on a date with this person and you have to run to the bathroom three or four times because you don't know what to say next in the conversation, so you can, you know, hit up your AI buddy or have an earpiece in, is crazy. Shakespeare may have written that music be the food of love, but increasingly these days, the language of the very real emotion may be spoken with artificial intelligence. Halivaa, I don't know how to say that name, who covers technology and internet culture for the Associated Press, joins Ali Rogan to discuss this growing phenomenon in search of companionship. For some users, there are friends to talk to for a fee. Some of them will even become your boyfriend and girlfriend. Computerized companionship generated completely by artificial intelligence are becoming more common, and the bots are sophisticated enough to learn from prior conversations, mimic human language, flirt, and build personal connections. But the rise in AI companionship also raises the ethical concern and question about the role these apps can play in an increasingly disconnected and online world. We know the thing that really is jarring about this is it's if these bots like this isn't the treatment for this type of situation. I feel like even though in the elderly conversation, that situation is seen more approachable because once again, these are patients or these are people who have sort of come to the end of their time on earth, and they're figuring out things for themselves, or in their some of the rare situations, all of their loved ones are gone. and they need a way of staying sociable. So it is a means to an end. It's still crazy that, you know, what's stopping you? This was something we did in my high school. They would give all the seniors an option of taking one of those social studies courses, or you can go to the old folks home and put in volunteer for 4 hours of that day. And when I tell you, kicking it with the old school people was the funnest thing ever. It was the funnest thing ever. But, you know, those programs went away after COVID ended. And because seniors usually train and coach the next generation, and because COVID had schools shut down, no one was really there to pass on the torch. And a lot of teachers weren't really familiar with that process, just that the students carried that torch on. And that torch passing didn't happen. And now multiple generations don't have this connection. But to see this happening in millennials, Generation X, this is kind of disturbing, because this goes into two major issues. One, as far as I'm concerned, you can't get your robot buddy pregnant. I don't care what Westworld told you. And then two, this leads to a form of disingenuous behavior. There's no situation where I want to feel like I am talking to someone who isn't really representing themselves. And the stats in this article show that it's mostly males who rely heavily on these social constructs to do this. The second thing, the third thing that I don't think we're asking questions about is, okay, what happens when someone gets their account breached? What about the countless distress and damages that could happen if, you know, people lose access or lose their password or get hacked, or they up the charges for this and they can't afford it anymore? They lose access to their companion. And this leads to bodily harm. This leads to mental or emotional distress. This should not be in the hands of companies. By no means should this even be allowed. This is unethical on every standpoint, especially if it progresses to a relationship where someone behind the screen is pushing the idea that this inanimate object has affection for you. And the counter argument that I always hear for this is, well, what about guys who pay for cam girls and stuff like that? 9 times out of 10, the cam girl has somebody else running their chat services for them. And this is not the case. And I said, the parasocial relationship between a real person on screen and a person who's not on screen is way more significant and tangible. More in the sense that, to some sensibility, that person understands that their relationship has boundaries. Imagine someone who's dependent on a piece of artificial intelligence that is owned by a corporation. What could they be influenced to do, believe, and say? Because most of us get our advice, go or turn for advice to our immediate partners. So this is where, like, a lot of troubling things can come into play. Who owns the likeness of your partner and things like that? These are all things that, you know, we don't have legislation or laws, or even we haven't had an ethical or moral conversation about this yet. But, okay, I hear you say, okay, Hero, I'm not old. I don't use AI to talk to my girlfriend. I'm not a loser on the internet. I'm not that lonely. Why should I care about anything you're saying? I hear you. I appreciate your lack of concern. They coming for the kids too, y'all. Come on now. We're in danger. We're in danger. They're coming for the kids. Meet MetaPals, which is a tablet-based form AI. MetaPal, an AI digital companion platform in partnership with Wild Brain's beloved tablet Teletubbies. They're using the Teletubbies likeness. Way cuter design. I feel like the big versions of those were terrifying. To bring together a cherished childhood memory and the innovation digital era with the launch of Teletubbies AI Digital Companionship on 20 April 2024. As Teletubbies commemorates its 27th anniversary. 27th anniversary? Who cares about the 27th? Talk to me when you're 30. On 31st of March. Damn, that's soon. March collaboration marks the beginning of an exciting array of re-owned IPs joining the MetaPals universe in 2024. Through the use of AI, blockchain technology powered by Tezos, much loved Tinky Winky Dipsy Lala Poe, and even No No. Who the fuck is No No? Have become personal. Oh shit. Whoa. Somebody needs to tell me who the hell Nono is and why is his name Nono? What is he doing? Yo. Where's Nono on the screen? Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4. Is Nono the vacuum? Oh god. Who is Nono? Somebody, I need a picture of Nono. Who is Nono for the Teletubbies? Oh man, hold on. I need to know who Nono is for the Teletubbies. Nono for Teletubbies. Oh, it is the vacuum cleaner. So are children like, yo, that's terrifying. These things were terrifying as adults. I mean, as kids. I guess the gist of it is like the Teletubbies are the four behaviors that children display. And, like, they ask what kids are most afraid of in their house. And it's usually the vacuum cleaner. So, it's No-No. Oh, my God. No-No. That's a hell of a name. Evolving digital companionship within the MetaPal browser extension game engine. This technology not only brings these fun characters to life in new interactive ways, but also helps to enhance the mental well-being of users by fostering a sense of companionship. It's not missed on me that companionship seems to be the underlying term here. It's the dogma of all three topics we faced since the beginning of this. and I am truly terrified that we have like in this situation here, they're using blockchain. So not only are they hooking your kids on your tablet, they're hooking your kid on to this AI. They also going to make sure that they're financially invested in some type of blockchain. And no matter what your feelings are on this, it's becoming too much. Human interaction should never be a digital-based interaction. And maybe I'm overreacting on this, but I also see the immediate harm in this, even from a telehealth situation. When my patients leave, I always want them to come back so we can see their range of motion, see their range of breath. When you transplant someone's lungs, of course everyone looks calm and composed when they're sitting down with a resting heart rate of 72. Let's see how you feel when I ask you to walk up the stairs and follow me a little bit. Those are the engaging things that I want to see, but you don't get to see those things through telehealth. One of the more damaging things about introducing AI too quickly into too many facets where they're not needed is that you remove the human element. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't know, maybe, and this might be the boomer in me, I don't like having personal effects be dictated by artificial intelligence. I don't like seeing personal effects of emotion be trying to be emulated by human, by AI. But once again, I might be sitting on my high horse here and not really understanding what this loneliness does. Because as a person as I am now, I live by myself, but I'm within well reach of people I love. I can go to the gym. I can go to my family house. I can get on a plane and go see one of you strangers. But I have that luxury. I have a platform where 20 people will come listen to me complain about being lonely, and I'm not motherfucking lonely, you know? But I think a big part of having empathy is understanding people's pain and not experiencing said pain. And this is just something I see with my patients a lot more. Ever since we had the tablets introduced into the hospital, I noticed that our nurses look more at the tablet than they do at our patients. And every time I've tried to ban it from my floor, I get ridden up. But if I can't find a way of stopping it outright, I have to find a way of cohabitating with it. So I think the thing that I could do is only educate people. But that's pretty much my perspective on it. Let me know what you guys think. Are you lonely? Do you need a hug? Bang. Down the muckle.